Chapter 18, The Strife Between Abram and Lot. From Genesis chapter 13, verse 7, There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Genesis 13 records one of the most troubling, distressing, and most shameful experiences in the lives of God's people in this world. This chapter describes the strife between Abram and Lot, a strife which led to separation, which in turn led to even greater sorrow. This was a strife between members of the same family. Abram was Lot's uncle. This conflict arose between brethren, between two men who had enjoyed the closest possible spiritual communion and fellowship. Abram was Lot's spiritual father. He was the instrument by whom Lot had learned the gospel. It was also a strife in the church of God. The whole church in the world at this time was the family of Abram, and Lot was a member of that blessed family. Domestic trials, family quarrels, and strife in the house of God are not easy to bear. We would all prefer to pass through this world without trouble. If we must have trouble, we would prefer to have it anywhere rather than at home. Jacob would have preferred not to have to endure the trial he had over the loss of Joseph. David would have preferred to avoid the trials he had to endure at the hand of Michal, Amnon, and Absalom. And Abram would have much preferred to live out his days with Lot's constant companionship, but it was not to be. All God's people must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Much of that tribulation will come from our own homes. Why is this? Why do believers have to endure trials, particularly strife, quarrels, and divisions in their homes and in their churches? Well, there are three obvious reasons. One, faith must be tried in all directions. Just as silver and gold must be tried by the fire, not to destroy them, but to separate the precious metal from the dross, just as the diamond must be cut to shape it into a valuable gem, trials are intended by God to purify believers' hearts and mold them into the image of His dear Son. Secondly, trials are designed to make believers long for heaven. When God permits strife to occur between believers, especially of the same family, it is to remind them that this world of sin and sorrow is not their home. Third, these troubles are permitted by God. They are brought to pass by the wise, unerring providence of a heavenly Father, so that believers may learn patience, forbearance, and kindness toward one another. God permitted the strife between Abram and Lot to come to a head to result in permanent separation, shameful as it was, and has recorded it for us in the Holy Scriptures so that we might learn from their mistakes. Abram and Lot were both saved men. They were both chosen by God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and called by the Spirit. They believed God, were righteous before Him, and had been made righteous by having the righteousness of God in Christ imputed to them. They are both seated now before the throne of God and of the Lamb. But while they lived in this world, a quarrel developed between their herdsmen that brought conflict between them and separated them. Strife between brethren is always shameful, bringing reproach to the gospel we believe and to the God we serve. The God of glory appeared to Abram when he was in Mesopotamia. The Lord God chose Abram, called him alone, and made a covenant with him. I do not know how much Abram knew, but he was not an ignorant barbarian. He knew and believed the gospel. When he was 75 years old, God promised to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world through the loins of Abram, and he believed God. By believing God, his faith was imputed to him for righteousness. After the death of Terah, his father, Abram left Haran, went to Canaan, and pitched his tent at Bethel. And there he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. Bethel was the house of God to him. Yet he left Bethel because of the famine that arose in the land. He went down into Egypt for a while. And now, at the beginning of Genesis 13, Abram has returned from Egypt with his wife, Sarai, and all his possessions, all his servants, and with Lot. They have all returned to Bethel. Back at Bethel, Abram must have thought, "Now my trials and troubles are all over. I am back at the place of God. It will be smooth sailing from now on." About the time he got settled, just as he had begun to gather his family for worship again, trouble broke out between his servants and the servants of Lot. This quarrel between Abram and Lot was a shameful, needless thing. It was particularly disgraceful because Abram and Lot had both been blessed with great wealth. They had as much of this world's goods as they could possibly need. If one of them had been poor and needy, we could understand jealousy and strife arising between them, but both of these men were extremely wealthy. The word translated rich in verse 2 has many shades of meaning. It means rich, as our translation indicates, but it also means honorable. It could be translated heavy. Riches are a burden. Those who seek to be rich load themselves with thick clay. In commenting upon the fact that riches are a heavy burden, Matthew Henry wrote, "There is a burden of care in getting them, fear in keeping them, temptation in using them, guilt in abusing them, sorrow in losing them, and a burden of account at last to be given up concerning them." Well, certainly, riches may be a great blessing of God's providence. Abram was a rich man in faith and rich in this world's goods. If well managed, earthly wealth is a friend to faith. It furnishes men with the opportunity to do much good, but very few men can be both wealthy and useful. I have seen a good many men make advancement in the world, but I have seen very few make advancement both in riches and in grace. How often people say, "If I had just a little more, I could do so much more for the cause of Christ." But usually, the more people get, the less they give, the less they attend the worship of God, and the less they do for Christ, His people, and the furtherance of the gospel. Wise is the man who has learned to pray, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Beware of covetousness. Beware of the deceitfulness of riches. All of Lot's woes began with his herds, and his gold began to increase. As we have said, Abram and Lot were brothers and friends, but more importantly, they were spiritual brethren. Abram was Lot's spiritual father. When he left his father's house, Abram told Lot what God had revealed to him and urged Lot to join him. They walked together for years in the pursuit of God's will and glory, but now trouble arose between them. They were both believers. They were both heirs of eternal life, but there was conflict. There is something peculiarly sinful about strife between believers. As we have seen, Lot owed Abram everything, both materially and spiritually. He knew nothing but what Abram had taught him. He had nothing but what Abraham had given him, and he had for years followed Abram as Abram followed God. But now he was willing to part company with the best friend he had in this world for a little more property. How fickle men are, even believing men, when left to themselves. At one time, the Galatians were willing to pluck out their eyes and give them to Paul, but in time they turned against him. Paul and Barnabas labored together for the cause of Christ. Then they fell out over Mark. Strife between brethren is a disgrace. It is always a disgrace. It's always petty, too. Brethren, do not fall out over the gospel. If the gospel is at stake, we must part company with those who oppose it. But brethren, quarreling about petty things, things that really amount to nothing but pride, what can be more shameful? This strife between Abram and Lot was particularly shameful because the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. It gave the enemies of God occasion to blaspheme. The Spirit of God indicates that this was, above all else, the great shame of this quarrel between these two men. The heathen observed it. They had seen them worshiping at the same altar, and now they saw them fighting over water and grazing rights. Abram had his faults. I do not suggest he was a perfect man. We saw his weakness in chapter 12 when he was in Egypt, but in this conflict, it was Abram who moved to put it to an end. His conduct throughout the matter exemplified what believers ought to do in such matters. Abram's behavior was conciliatory. He was a man of peace. It was in his heart, as much as possible, to live peaceably with all men, especially with those who believe. He knew the value and blessedness of peace. He knew the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Once it begins, it's almost impossible to stop. He had learned to leave off contention before it be meddled with. Abram took the initiative. He preferred the glory of God to his own will. He was more concerned for the gospel and the worship of God than for his own rights. The souls of men were of greater concern to Abram than cattle, water, and the grass. He preferred to yield to Lot's greed rather than fight with his brother and friend. He was a magnanimous man. Lot should have yielded to Abram. God had given the land to Abram. It was all his. He was the older of the two. He was richer and stronger. Lot owed everything to Abram. Abram was God's spokesman, but Lot was a petty little man, obstinate and self-willed. Abram was gracious and condescended to Lot's pleasure. He was generous even to his own hurt. People of the world looking at Abram would say, "You fool!" But Abram sought the glory of God. He turned the other cheek. He accepted the wrong and allowed himself to be defrauded. He made himself servant to Lot. Why was this? He did it for two reasons. First, to keep Lot's friendship, and second, for the honor of God. This is exemplary Christian conduct. Christianity is more than doctrines, creeds, and ordinances. Christianity is Christ in us, and if Christ is in us, he will be seen clearly in our lives. Abram waived his rights and cheerfully gave Lot whatever he wanted. It does not appear that he was even slightly troubled by the fact that Lot took the best for himself. In fact, it seems that Abram wanted Lot to have the best. Why was this? How could he behave in this way? Abram believed God. He loved Lot. He was dead to this world. Abram and Lot were standing on one of the high mountains of Canaan, perhaps Mount Hebron. Looking to the east, Lot beheld all the well-watered, fertile plains of Sodom and the rich hills of Moab. It reminded him of the Garden of Eden, which he had heard Abram describe, and he chose that to be his portion. He left the tents of Abram for the tents of Sodom. He left the altar of Abram for the hills of Moab. He left the worship of Bethel for the riches of the plain. He saw, he coveted, he took. Without regard for anything spiritual, his own soul or the glory of God, Lot chose the rich plains of Sodom. His choice was sad. It tells us much about Lot. He had too much love for this world, and he had too little concern for his own soul and the souls of those who were under his influence. There were no prophets in Sodom, only riches. There was no altar at which to worship God in Sodom, only luscious-looking grass. There were no believers in Sodom, only men and women of the world. From the moment that Lot made his choice, he began to decline. He did not go directly into Sodom, but step by step, he hardened his heart and seared his conscience until he convinced himself that the best thing he could do for himself, his family, and his servants was to move to Sodom. He lifted up his eyes and beheld the land. Then he chose the plains of Sodom. Soon he separated himself from Abram. He dwelt in the cities of the plains for a while. Then he pitched his tent toward Sodom. At last he dwelt in Sodom. There he was elected to the city council. He became a man of great respectability among the Sodomites when he had no respectability left. Do you see how lamentable Lot's choice was? In the end, Lot's choice cost him everything he cherished, except his own soul. He lost all influence for God with his family, servants, and neighbors. He lost all spiritual communion, fellowship, and instruction. His daughters, sons-in-law, and grandchildren were lost to the Sodomites. He lost all his earthly possessions as well as his wife. Ultimately, he lost his last two daughters in his drunken incest. He lost everything but his soul. But Abram lost nothing. He gave up everything except the honor of God, the glory of God, and the love for Lot. But he lost nothing. May every child of God always endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Avoid strife with brethren at all costs. Love not the world. It is the love of the world and the love of self which lies at the root of all strife between believers. How shameful! In all our earthly decisions, we must take care not to neglect the welfare of our souls. In all things, endeavor to do that which is right. Walk with God and live in peace. The very mention of the name Lot echoes the words of Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. Lot was a saved man, a sinner saved by grace alone, through the merits of Christ's blood and righteousness, without any works of his own. Like every saved sinner, Lot was saved by God's sovereign election, blood atonement, imputed righteousness, and infallible grace.